Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A father who truly loves his children does not simply let them do whatever they want, whenever they want. A father who loves his children lays down the law. He gives rules and commands. The reason for this is not because he desires and enjoys all the rules and the commandments, but rather he does this so that his children will not get hurt or hurt others. If earthly fathers who are fallen do this along with earthly mothers, how much more so our Father in heaven? And if you set rules and never punish those that break the rules, children learn that as well. If you never follow through on what you tell your children, they will simply know exactly how to work the system. Follow through, as painful as it can be for the parent, because oftentimes when a parent said, "This hurts me more than it hurts you," it's true. There is no joy and no pleasure in chastising children. And if there is, then you should seek help. But a parent that chastises his children, as God chastises us, his children, is a parent that loves his children. I know New Age parenting says just be your buddy with your children. But how does that show them what love is? The parent that simply enables sin and corruption does not love his children. The parent who says this is the rule because our Father has given us these rules, and if you refuse to obey what our Father has given, then there are earthly consequences, including physical chastening. The goal is always that the child would learn, that the child would be corrected to not hurt themselves or others again. That's what a good parent does, no matter how hard it can be. No matter how much you wish you didn't have to put any rules in place for your children, no matter how much you wish you would never have to punish your children, our Heavenly Father wishes the same. Our Heavenly Father wishes that our will would be so perfectly aligned with His that He wouldn't have to give His law, that He wouldn't have to send sickness and disease, that He wouldn't have to send tears and punishment. Ultimately, the eternal chastening took place on the cross of Jesus Christ. That all of us as his children have failed him in thought, in word, and in deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone. And for all of our failures, Jesus never failed. And so the eternal chastisement, the eternal punishment is taken away from those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Faith, a gift from Him. And so we are chastened, and so we are called to discipline our bodies and our souls. Because we have been redeemed, we may now live a life according to God's will. Perfectly? No. But by the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Next Wednesday, 1 week from now, it's already the beginning of Lent. It'll be Ash Wednesday next week, and there is no better dinner that you can bring your loved one to than the Lord's Supper, which we just so happen to offer next Wednesday. So come to church. I know it's St. Valentine's Day, but what is St. Valentine's Day to begin with? Come back next week and I'll tell you. Ash Wednesday is a day that the church reminds the children of God that we are living through this life, Yes, we are chastised, but always to bring us back to him, to bring us to the foot of the cross, to cry out for his mercy, and to receive the forgiveness of sins. And while we do not discipline our bodies to earn God's forgiveness, because we are forgiven, because we are redeemed, because we are his children, we strive to be better. And so on Ash Wednesday, the tradition of the Christian church, the Lutheran church included, is that this begins our Lenten fast. In fact, fasten is the German word for Lent, implying the act of fasting, of, yes, giving something up, but also training the body to receive that which is good for the soul. We fast before we receive the sacrament, traditionally as Lutherans. Luther includes that in the Small Catechism, that this is certainly fine outward training. Jesus himself, and we'll hear it in the gospel lesson next week, says, when you fast, implying that Christians will take time to fast. And not because it's popular among health gurus right now. We fast. We train our bodies to receive that which is good for the soul. We are fed with the spiritual nourishment of our Lord's body and blood. We are fed. We are nourished. When Easter comes, that is a feast. But oftentimes in America, we who feast almost every single day don't stop to appreciate what an actual feast is. When we feast more sumptuously than most kings in all of history have, there's something that we do not comprehend. So that traditional Lenten fasting, and again, you don't have to do it to earn forgiveness, you don't have to do it, and you're not sinning if you don't do it, but we do it to train the body, to be prepared. Because persecutions will come. Persecution happens for many Christians throughout the whole world, rounded up, burned, put to death, just for confessing the name of Jesus. That's a reality. Can we go a time of training our body to receive that which is good for the soul? That when persecutions come and they try to starve you into not confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord, that we are prepared for something like that? When I give consideration to our gospel lesson, the importance of the confession of who Jesus Christ is, this is the essential thing to be a Christian. This is the essential thing in order to go to heaven. But because you are a Christian, there are things in this life that train us. Jesus is extremely clear in our gospel lesson. He who is not with me is against me. Will we be found with Jesus on the last day, confessing him as we did in our lives? Or will we confess him to our eternal judgment? Jesus makes it very clear. He who does not gather with me scatters abroad. How can you claim to be a member of the body of Jesus Christ when you are not a member of any body of Jesus Christ? He who does not gather with me scatters. We worship because our Lord commands it, and because as redeemed children of God, we desire to be where God is. We desire to be where we hear his forgiveness. We desire to be where we're reminded of our baptism and where we receive the body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. When we willfully neglect the gathering together of the saints, as we read in Hebrews, as is the habit of some, we are doing damage to ourselves. Do you have to go to church every single week in order to go to heaven? No. But does it help to keep you secure in the ark of the church, the bride of Christ? Yes. Does every single person who comes to church every single week go to heaven? Probably not. There are probably a few people who come just out of the sake of being told that they have to, but don't actually believe. But will it help that the Word is among you every single week, that the Holy Spirit works through His Word every single week? I think it does. When we do not spend time in God's Word, when we do not ingest and digest His Word, as we do each and every week in worship, each and every day in the Word of God, we are given over to the world. If you watch Fox News or CNN more than you read your Bible or spend in church, that is who you are getting your information from. And that, brothers and sisters in Christ, is from the world. Spend more time in His Word. Spend more time in conversations with brothers and sisters in Christ. Spend more time telling others about this Jesus. Because those who do not gather with Him will be scattered. Those who do not hear His call and answer it, on that day it will be said, "I never knew you." Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit damns. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is to deny the person and work of Jesus Christ. Ultimately, that is what damns. But think about the fruit that is born on the tree that is your faith. Is it good fruit? Does your faith produce good fruits? Can others see that you are a Christian in the way that you live, in the way that you talk? Because if not, I'm not so sure about that fruit. That which produces the bad fruits on a regular basis instead of the good fruits will be thrown into the fires. The good fruit is produced because you have the Holy Spirit alive in you. He is living in you right now. He called you here. He calls you to repent for whatever sin that you are stuck in your life right now. That's the voice of the Holy Spirit. The voice of the world says it doesn't matter. The voice of the world says, you know what? You have better things to do. The voice of the Holy Spirit says, repent and believe. Gather and receive. The day of judgment is coming. I don't know if it'll be in our lifetime, but as we are going through this great apostasy, this great falling away, I can't believe it's going to be terribly long from now. But regardless if it's today or 1,000 years from now, live every day as though it is the day that Christ returns. Live every day confessing your sins to Jesus and being forgiven, being received, gathering in His Word, and receiving His gifts. The church sings, "In all the strife of mortal life, our feet will stand securely. Temptation's hour will lose its power, for You will guard us surely. O God, renew with heavenly dew our body, soul, and spirit, until we stand at Your right hand through Jesus' saving merit." Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.